She might wish to be here, but she's watching that new grand, so that's exciting. And thank you, praise team, Pastor Ansu, just for blessing us. And let's just take a minute to pray. Take your Bible, though, out. Turn it to Isaiah 55 as we get started this morning. Okay, we're gonna pray for us, though. Dear God, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, dear God, that you are awesome. Lord, you have given us revelation. You've given us your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit, Lord, to interpret your word and to teach us that we might know how to live, that we might know how to respond, Lord, to the things of life. And I pray, dear God, that your word and your spirit today would just be greatly at work in us as we think about heaven, as we think about, Lord, the present heaven, Lord, our immediate destination if we're to leave this earth. And I pray, Lord, that you would just really speak to our hearts about that this morning, Lord. And help us, I pray, Lord, our goal would be, Lord, that we would understand. But our goal would also be, Lord, that we would respond to that, Lord, in an affirmative way, Lord, that heaven would indeed be ours. And I just pray that you would just give us clarity of thought now, communication. Take away the distractions, Lord, that just seem to encroach on our minds. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So take your Bibles. We're going to go to Isaiah 55 first. And I'm just going to introduce where we are. So we continue our series of heaven. And we've kind of been up and down and in and out, you know, with different things. This is a busy time of year. We recognize lots of different events that are going on. But we want to consistently teach God's word. And we're talking about heaven on my mind. I hope heaven's been on your mind. And we're going to think about that this morning. And what we want to focus on today, and hopefully, by the way, this will be something that we can just grasp better than maybe we have in the past, but the concept of the present heaven versus the new heaven and the new earth. Now, that is huge. So we're going to focus today on the present heaven. We'll talk a little bit about how we get from here to the new heaven and the new earth. We're going to kind of just lay that out for us this morning a bit. And I'll throw this question out. The present heaven and the new heaven and new earth can be confusing, right, for all of us. But God's plan of salvation for believers just gets better and better. Isn't that true? The more we walk with God, it just gets better, even though life may not get better. But the more we walk with the Lord, it gets better. So we're going to dig in and try to figure that out a little bit more this morning. So here's the truth that we got to grab a hold of, right? Believers in Christ ascend to the present heaven the moment they die on earth. Think about that for a second. And by the way, you know, we don't have a death wish, but you know what? If we were to leave this earth today, either suddenly or maybe after a long illness or some problem, guess what? We immediately enter the presence of God in the present heaven. And that's something to hang on to today and lift us out of the worry and the concerns about those things. But guess what? We're even looking forward to better things because God is going to take the present heaven and the present earth and he is going to give it to us. New heaven and new earth. So we're going to look at that. We'll dig into that just a little bit more. So here's the question. Has the present heaven kind of captured your imagination? I know it's hard because there's so much stuff going on earth, it's hard to think about heaven sometimes, right? And I'll throw this out. By the way, a few more of our books came in. That one book that we have for $5, 1 Minute After You Die, a couple more came in. By the way, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people must be thinking about heaven because they're on back order. Can you believe it? And this book is not brand new. It's kind of been around a little while. So people must be thinking about heaven, given all things in the world. But I hope it's captured your imagination. And the question I want to think about is, do you know the differences between the present heaven and the new heaven and the new earth? And it's kind of a little confusing, so we're going to hopefully answer that a little bit better today. But I want to leave us with a thought. Here's the challenge. As we think about heaven, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. Can I get an amen on that? Is it kind of hard to wrap your mind around it? Well, I don't know about you, but my feet are firmly planted right here. And there's a lot of things that we're trying to work on and figure out and deal with and struggle with and wrestle with. Right here, sometimes it's hard to think about heaven. Sometimes people say, I'm ready to go right now. You know, but sometimes we're not ready for that. But I just want to remind us, and we teed our series up with this thought. Look what the prophet Isaiah wrote this long time ago, probably like almost 3,000 years ago, 2,600 years ago, he said about God, he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I want to just challenge us. Sometimes our thoughts aren't right. And I'll throw this out. You know, heaven's hard to wrap your mind around. But praise God, God has given us a revelation in his word to teach us the truth about heaven. It doesn't teach us everything about heaven, but it teaches us enough to have a hope and a confidence and a faith that is strong. And hopefully a will that says, "I want to make sure I'm going to go there." So we're going to dig into that a little bit this morning. So I want to take a moment and just review just a little bit about where we were. Pastor Ansu did this several weeks ago, and I want to just take a quick second to stop and just think about this, what happens. When the moment we pass from this earth, you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, right, we ascend to heaven, right? And I want to just kind of remind us, death, by the way, is not something we ought to fear, but death, is it a friend or a foe? You know, in one way, it's the greatest foe because we can't conquer it. It's the last foe. But it really opens up the door to what God wants us to be and wants us to have. So, you know, I'll just share with you in the book of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, unless he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim." By the way, anybody know what cherubim are? Cherubim are angels. There's kind of two types named in Scripture, right? There's cherubim, and they seem to have a job of protecting the holiness of God. And then there's seraphim, and they're the ones we read about in Isaiah. They have six wings, right? And by the way, you think about the angels. When we see angels, you know, like on a Hallmark card, they always have two wings. They're either really good-looking men or really good-looking women. But that's not how it really is, right? That's Hallmark. This is the Bible, right? So, you know, here's the challenge, right? So these cherubim, right, they guard the gate of the Garden of Eden to make sure what? That no one comes back in and partakes of the tree of life so that they would live forever. Everybody look up for a second. Anybody looking for the tree of life? You want to live forever? Some of you guys know. Yeah, when you're young, you're like, yes. When you're old, you're like, no. Right? I don't think I want that in this body. Amen to that, right? But here's the idea, right? The moment that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it changed everything. And their humanity and their sin nature now took control and was effective, and it could not be changed unless that humanity could die. So death, right, is this thing that actually gives us an exit out of an awful state forever, right? And I want you guys to stop thinking about that for a second. Just imagine for a second that you had to maintain your sinfulness forever. I know we're all in church. We all look pretty good, right? We act like we never sin, but we all do. But just imagine if your heart, the things that you think about in your mind, was stuck that way forever, that'd be terrible. And the Lord allowed death to enter in so that man could ultimately, what, be born again and be redeemed to not have to be that way forever. And I'm going to throw this out. You know, when we get to heaven, one of the greatest things will be is that we will never have another sinful thought. Isn't that amazing? That you won't be angry that someone else got something different than you did. You won't be jealous. You won't be mad. You won't be frustrated. You know, you won't steal. You won't kill. You won't do any of those things. All that animosity, malice, all those things will be gone. Right? And that's kind of what death does. So death, and I want you guys to understand this, death allows the control of sin to be broken and humanity to be redeemed. So death's not really our enemy. It's really the doorway to something better. And that's how we have to kind of think about that. So Pastor Anderson, I know, kind of began to explain that before. But we wanted to just kind of, you know, flesh that out just a little bit more. Here's the next thing, right? When we die, what happens? Interact with me. What happens? Our soul and spirit do what? They sort of separate from the body first, and they go to be with the Lord, if we're believers, or they go to the present Hades or hell if we're unbelievers, right? Right? And the body goes into the ground in one form or another, or maybe it's in the sea or it's somewhere, but the body goes there. So we want to stop and just kind of think about this for a second. So death, right, is a restful sleep for the body, but not the soul. And we'll talk about that. So it says, as Jesus taught his disciples, right, it says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And this is account is given for all us disciples. This is Jesus on the cross. And as Jesus was on the cross, remember, there were two criminals there, one on each side. And the one criminal was saying, he was mocking God, saying, you know what, if you're God, you come on down and show us your God. And he was saying all these things about him. But the thief on the cross, he said, shut up, don't you understand? We deserve what we got, but he doesn't. And actually, he says these words. He says, don't you even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And the thief on the cross, he said to Jesus this word, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, and I want you to get this down in your minds, assuredly, or truly, truly, is another way to translate that. I say to you, what's the next word? Did y'all get that in your mind? Everybody look up, right? Today, what? You will be with me in paradise. So it's not down the road. It's not an extended time that we're buried in the ground. Today, we are immediately translated to heaven when we close our eyes this side of glory, right? Today. And I throw this word out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Moses read today. He says, for we walk by what? Now, I'm going to stop for a second. A lot of times, how do we walk? A lot by sight, don't we? We like to touch it. We like to see it. We like to make sure it's going to hold me up. We like all those things, right? But it says, ultimately, like when it comes to life and death, we walk by faith. By the way, all y'all, you know what? You shut your eyes last night in faith, and God woke you up this morning. Right? You didn't wake yourself up. You might say, well, no, my alarm woke me up. But God jug your body out of that bed and got you going. He kept you breathing all night. He kept you alive. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, yes, well pleased to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the idea here is that, you know, death, right? Death, the body, this current body sleeps. But our soul spirit is translated immediately to heaven. Because it says what? Today you will be with me in paradise. And I want to share, I wrote a verse down. Write this verse down. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. I don't know if you guys remember the book of Philippians. It's called the book of joy. But the apostle Paul said these words. He said, I am in this difficult situation. He called it a strait. He says, I want to go and leave the mess of this earth, and I want to be with God. But at the same time, because I love you and care about you so much, I want to stay here. And I think as we get older, or we go through illness and we go through struggles, heaven is looking better and better. And earth is looking worse and worse. But at the same time, we still love our families and we're concerned about them and we want to be there for them and help them and teach them and point them to heaven, hopefully, right? We want to stay. But the point I make about that is this. You know what? Paul would never say, think about this as a human being. Would Paul ever say, I'm in this difficult situation. I can't wait to be with God if he wouldn't be with God for like 2,000 more years? Doesn't make sense, right? But Paul's saying, you know what? I can't wait to be with God because I know when I shut my eyes this side of heaven, I'm going to wake up on the other side instantaneously. And that's this idea. It's a restful sleep for the body, but the soul and the spirit are going to be in heaven. And I just want to take a moment today and just kind of define this for us for a second. Think about this whole experience of living and dying. What is the soul? What is it? And I want to define that for a second. Here it is. The soul is the living, conscious, immaterial. In other words, I can't touch it like I touch my arm. Part, an eternal part of our being that makes us man and was breathed into us by God at creation in his image. And I'll just take you down to the verse. We'll look at this for a second. Remember that it says, and the Lord God formed man. Can you imagine God doing this? Literally taking dirt. Right? And you, by the way, you know, I hear this at many funerals, right? Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. It means that this body goes back to what it started from, right? But God, when he formed Adam, formed him out of the dust of the ground, right? And it says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. And everybody look up for a second. How's that different? Now, how many folks have a pet? You love him or her? You love him, right? Most of the time, right? You love him, right? Guess what? Your dog, your cat, your snake, your fish, whatever you got. Some people, well, I said the word snake, people are going like, ooh. Right? Whatever you got doesn't have a soul. In other words, it doesn't have this concept of right or wrong. It doesn't have that eternality built into it, right? But man does. Like, think about us as men and women, right? We know right from wrong. We know when things don't feel quite right. We know when we shouldn't do something or we should do something. Sometimes we still don't do it or we do it either way. We go against what our conscience tells us. But we have this thing inside of us that God has given us called a conscience. It's part of that soul. And I want us to kind of understand, it makes us unique. It's our unique identity, and it defines us in our will, our intellect, our desires, and our emotions. So your soul is all those things. And it must be redeemed, and its sinfulness has to be atoned or paid for by Jesus. It's purified and protected by the Holy Spirit. Everybody look up for a second. Isn't it kind of cool that the Holy Spirit protects your soul? All this, I don't know what's going to come at you tomorrow, but praise God, the Holy Spirit protects your soul, right? Protects your soul. So it's this, you know, when someone dies, the body sleeps, but the soul, that real you, goes right to heaven. You know, I kind of just illustrate it this way. Think about, you know, as our bodies, when we're young, right, you know, we look fit, we look better, we don't have any wrinkles, we got all the hair in the right places. You know, it's different when we're young, right? And then we get old, sometimes we don't even recognize ourselves. Right? Isn't that true? Can I get an amen? Right? 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 But here's the deal, right? The soul is the same. Isn't that kind of cool? And by the way, what God is doing, he says this in the book of 2 Corinthians. He says, my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is renewed day by day. So even though I'm looking uglier on the outside, hopefully that soul is looking more like Jesus on the inside. Right? You understand? And then that kind of helped to illustrate the difference, right? Like, this thing is wasting away. You know, and I'm trying hard to keep it looking as good as it can, but it's not the same, right? And again, if you're over 50, If you're younger than 50, you're saying, no, you know, that's not going to be me. But if you're older than 50, you're going, yep, it's true. You know, you got crepey skin and all the things you read about. Like, you could buy all the serums on TV that you see, and you're still going to get old. Right? Yeah. Yeah, you can get plastic surgery. You could get various lifts. But you're not going to win the battle with gravity because the lifts are going to go down. Right? I mean, that's how it works. But praise God, we have a soul that's in us that God has redeemed, right? And is continuing to redeem and change more into the image of Jesus Christ. And when we die, that's the part that goes to heaven. And God is going to fix the body too at the resurrection, right? That's why I want us to kind of understand what's going on here. So hopefully that gives us a little more perspective on that. And by the way, the Apostle Paul kind of helped with that. Here's what he said. He said, our body's like a collapsing tent. Mr. Long, remember Word of Life? Yeah, back in the day, I'm hoping that Pastor Ansley is going to one day take the current youth leaders to Word of Life and camp outside while the kids are in cabins, but I don't know. But I'm hoping. Verna's looking forward to going. You know, she likes the bugs and everything. But think about this, you know, and camping, by the way, can be really fun, but you can't wait to go and you can't wait to get back. Right? And that's kind of how the Lord, the Apostle Paul, he says this. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, and by the way, in my case, he does not mean 16 Longwood Drive. He means this thing, this body, right? He says, if this earthly house, this tent, and he makes this distinction because, again, understanding this thing called our bodies is fragile. You know, by the way, isn't it the craziest thing that like a little bacteria or a virus that I can't even see could take me out of here? That's unbelievable, right? He says that this earthly house, this tent, and a tent is like that. You know, it's usually made out of like nylon, polyester, used to be made out of canvas, but it wears out. The sun affects it. The rain affects it. It's treated with waterproof, but if you use it enough times, it doesn't work anymore. He says, if this tent is destroyed, and check the picture he gives us. Tent, building. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So no matter what happens to this thing, fire, water, sickness, whatever it is, death, I got a body that is going to be made for all of eternity that God has created for me. And I'm going to throw this out because it's one of the big questions. Because the present heaven, right? When we absent from the body, present with the Lord, soul and spirit go to heaven, body goes in the ground. What body do I have is a big question, right? We'll talk about that briefly in a minute. But he says, we got one coming. And he says this, he says, for in this, and everybody look up, what's this? In this, we groan. And you know, by the way, even in church, you know, people that, by the way, sometimes we would love to get chairs in church. So we've got chairs in the back, you know, for our special needs folks or, you know, people need a little extra help. But the pew's kind of cool because in church, even, you know, you sit in the pew, when you have a pew in front of you, you can use the pew in front to do what? Get yourself back up, right? And you kind of hear people go, ah! Right? That's the groaning that we're talking about, right? We groan. And he says, because we earnestly desire to be clothed with our what? Our body from heaven. Because that body in heaven, you're not going to groan about that body when you get that one. He says, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So we're not going to be bodiless. We're going to have a body that's fit for eternity. But he says, for in we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be naked or unclothed, but we want to be what? Further clothed. And look at the next phrase. that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Think about your body at its best, and then think about an eternal body that God's created that is not impacted by disease, death, or anything else. And that's what he's talking about. He says, our tent or our body is exchanged for a God-made house or body eternal in the heavens. The new body is not encumbered by age. And we stop thinking about this. Everybody look up for a sec. Anybody like Amazing Grace? But yeah, that song, I don't know. There's a few songs that have eternal quality. That might be one of them, right? But you remember the last verse? By the way, I remember God and not. Sometimes God would be up here. We used to lead the singing, you know, by hand, right? And if you did not sing the last verse, verse 5, you were in big trouble, right? Remember that guy? But it says this in verse 5 of Amazing Grace. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to what? Sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, that's that picture, right? So think about this. Think about your body now 10,000 years from now. I know most of you guys are going, I'm worried about next Thursday. Right? Think about that's the distinction that God is going to give us. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a body that is fit for all of eternity, right? And I want us to kind of get a hold of that. So when we die, it's kind of like we collapse the tent and we get what God has prepared for us. And that's such a huge thing. The big question is that down the road or is that right away? Or do we have a temporary body, which we'll talk about that just a little bit in a minute. So I want you guys to get a hold of this too. The new heaven and the new earth, kind of moving from the present heaven that we have today, is a permanent home. How many folks have ever moved in their life? You moved from somewhere. Right? How many folks want to move from where you are now? Right? You know, right? But let me say this. Heaven's a permanent home, right? And get this in your minds, right? Look what the Lord says. Jesus said these words in John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. We are troubled by everything, right? He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And by a better way to translate that is dwelling places. It's more like condos. It's like condominiums, living spaces. By the way, that doesn't mean that your house in heaven is like you live in Manhattan where you have like 300 square feet. It doesn't mean that. It means you have this dwelling place in heaven and it's going to be big enough. You're not going to like look at your neighbors and go, how come they got the window? Right? It's not going to be like that. By the way, have you ever worked in corporate America? The size of your cubicle determined how important you were to the company. And if you were really a boss, you got the window. Right? You know, because all the walls, like even if you had like a door on your office, it was all just like things they hung up and clicked into the building, right? It wasn't really real. But when we get to heaven, right, we're going to have a dwelling place that is ready for all eternity. It's permanent. And look what the Lord said. He said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. So don't let anyone or any doubt or fear think that God's not going to deliver on that, right? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself that where I am, there you might be also. I will come again and receive you to myself that what? Where I am, where Jesus is, that's where you're going to be, right? And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And I'll throw this out. But when we start getting faced with the problems of life, we're not thinking about those things, right? And that's why it kind of shakes us. We become shaken in our faith because we got to focus on what the truth is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, again, gives us that same kind of concept. I won't go into that even right now. So that's kind of a little bit about this experience of ascending to heaven. But what I want you guys to understand is, and probably the question on your mind is, so what's it going to be like? And me and Pastor Anson, we went through your cards, right? So people ask questions like, will we know each other? You think it would be heaven if you didn't know each other? It'd be kind of terrible, right? There's a few people maybe I would say, I'm glad I don't know them. A few. I don't know, but present company excluded, right? But, I mean, generally speaking, right? You know, you're going to know people, and they're going to know you. And here's the cool thing, by the way. They're going to know us, and they're going to love us because our personality and our soul has been redeemed, right? So I want you to kind of get in your mind a couple of things. And this came, by the way, from the book, 1 Minute After You Die, but written by Erwin Lutzer. But he says this, and a good way to summarize it, we'll look at the scripture in a second, but he says this, personal knowledge continues. And we're going to look at Luke 16, we'll kind of flesh it out for us. Personal feelings go on. Love, compassion, comfort, pain, they continue, right? Especially in the present heaven. I'll throw this out to you guys. You guys have read Revelation 21? We'll look at that maybe at the end. We'll look at it next week if not. But it says this. It says God will wipe away every tear. So I think initially in the present heaven, we're probably going to have some concerns, and our compassion is going to go out for the people that are on earth, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, right, our family, right? And I'll throw this out. We're going to look at this next, our resurrection body, this intermediate state idea. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. The present heaven, write this down. The present heaven, many people call the intermediate state. When I say that, what does that mean? Everybody look up. What does that mean, intermediate state? It means it's not permanent, right? It's kind of like this transitionary time between earth and the new heaven and the new earth. So the intermediate state is this transitionary time when we're in heaven, but it's going to get even better down the road. Okay, it's called the intermediate state. The eternal state is the permanent state. And I'll give you a difference. We'll look at this in detail later. Not today, but later on. But the permanent state will mean that Satan has been cast into the lake of fire. And he will never trouble us again. Right? During the intermediate state, Satan's going to trouble earth like crazy. It's a difference, a distinction, right? And then we'll talk a little bit about one of the questions you guys had, the death of infants or those who cannot understand. How does God handle that? So let's dig in. And we're watching our time because I want to be clear. I don't want to give us so much, but I want to digest where we are today. So I want you guys to take your Bible, by the way, turn to this in your scriptures, Luke 16. And I want to encourage us. I know a lot of times we have a phone Bible. If you can highlight your phone Bible, that's good too. Put notes in it, that's helpful too. But it's good to kind of have a place where you keep your thoughts that are spiritual, that you can go back to them again. So if you have a Bible, take it out. If you have a digital Bible, take it out. But I want you guys to go to Luke 16. And I want you to get a picture, by the way. Luke is one of the Gospels. It was written by a doctor, Dr. Luke, right? He was a physician. It gives us a lot of detail about everything. It's the longest Gospel, right? But it really gives us real insight into the present heaven. And this Jesus, by the way, in this section of Luke is teaching all these different principles to the disciples and others as well. And here there's this parable, which, by the way, could be a true story. It could be a made-up story. But Jesus is talking about heaven. So these are the words of Jesus. So we could trust these words. And Luke took them down very carefully. And look what it says. Now there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. And you guys all remember, by the way, remember the lady at Thyatira? She was clothed in purple. I see Lisa up here. She got purple on, right? She's a rich lady right here in the front. No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, so this rich guy is clothed in purple, fine linen. He lives sumptuously. He eats the best. He lives the best every single day, right? And it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. By the way, this is not the same Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead, okay? Just to be clear. There was a beggar, right? He's the poorest guy, and guess what he does? He lives outside the rich man's house, and he survives from his scraps. And look what it says. It says, he was laid by his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And by the way, this kind of is not too pretty a picture, but it says, this guy is so poor and so sickly, the dogs even came and they licked his sores. That's awful, right? Awful picture. But it gives you a sense, by the way, sumptuous, dirt poor, right? And you see this picture, and it says, and so it was that the beggar died. And he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I want to stop for a second. You know, bosom is like our chest, breast, right? But here's the picture. Abraham's bosom is a Hebrew saying for saying the place of paradise. That's Abraham's bosom, right? So it says the beggar died. He had the worst in life. And he had the best in heaven. And I want to say this. Everybody look up for me. Let me see your eyes for a quick second. Here's the thought. Don't think that your situation on earth, if it's bad, can't be fixed by heaven. Don't think if you're living high on the hog on earth, right, that you're automatically going to live high on the hog in heaven, because that has to go through Jesus first. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody is in heaven because they have a lot of money and bought their way in, right? So we got to understand that. So this parable, this picture lays a lot out for us. But I want you guys to notice one thing. Remember we said this, right? That our present knowledge continues. Look what happens. It really clarifies our understanding of heaven. It says, and so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels there. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, by the way, Hades is the idea of, can be translated the grave, or it can be translated hell. And what this is there's this, in the present time, there's this place, holding place for those people that don't know Jesus Christ. So the rich man was died, and being in torments, right, because hell is a place of torment, he lifts up his eyes, and he saw Abraham, remember Abraham? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? He saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom, right? So what's that? He sees Abraham afar off, and he sees Lazarus not suffering in a way better place than he is where he's suffering. So I want to say this, everybody look up. Immediate recognition of surroundings. He recognizes, hey, I'm in the bad place, and Lazarus is not. And by the way, he also recognizes Abraham as a person, and he also recognizes Lazarus as a person. So everybody understand, right? When we get to heaven, recognition and understanding and knowledge doesn't go away. Does that make sense? Doesn't go away. Personal knowledge continues, right? And I want to slide on down. And then check it out, and we'll kind of build on that. Look what it says. It says, then he cried and said, Father Abraham. Everybody look up for a quick second. Why is he going to call him Father Abraham? He's probably Jewish, and Abraham is ultimately his father all the way back. Generation after generation, right? He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So I just want to stop there for a second and say, personal knowledge, what? Continues, right? He knows who people are, and he also understands the place, Hades or Abraham's bosom. And he also understands pain and comfort, right? So personal knowledge and understanding, right? When we get to heaven, it continues. We're not going to go to heaven and be zombies. We're going to go to heaven and have that same soul that we had here on earth that has been redeemed fully by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to forget or miss out on anything that we knew here. It'll just be all redeemed, right? And look what he says. He goes on here. It says, but Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime you received your good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And I want to stop for a second. Let's understand this for a minute. Is the rich man in Hades or hell because he's rich? No, he's in hell or Hades because he never put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Which everybody had to do. The beggar, the rich man, anybody in between on the spectrum of wealth had to do that, right? So he says this, and Abraham says, and by the way, I want you guys to get this in your mind. Just because you're rich on earth, don't think you're good for heaven. You might wear purple. I'm only kidding. You guys wear purple on today. You might wear purple. We should wear purple, man, me and you today, right? Next week, we're going to wear purple just to illustrate. But you, whatever color you got, whatever car you got, whatever house you got, it doesn't matter. It does not impact heaven whatsoever. What impacts heaven is your faith in Jesus Christ. Right? And he says this. And look what he says. And by the way, I want you to understand. By the way, anybody ever experienced a second chance in life? How about third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, 1,000, right? Amen, right? Right? Let me say this. All those chances happen while you breathe your air on earth. They don't happen when you get into the next life. So I say this to say that, you know what? We got to get it right now. We got to get our faith in Jesus now because we can't fix it later. And by the way, we don't even know when that's going to come, so we want to do it today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, next week, after I have my fun. It's not that. It's now. Now's the time of salvation. Because look what he says. This is what Abraham tells the rich man. He says, and beside all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed. Picture this like a river, like the Delaware River. By the way, anybody ever cross over the Delaware Memorial Bridge? It is wide. It looks like it's an ocean, right? It's huge, right? Picture that. The rich man's on one side. He's on the Jersey side. And the other guy's on the Delaware side. And there ain't no getting across. And that's what he's trying to get across. He said, there's no way. He says, and so that those who want to pass from here to you, look what it says, cannot. Nor can those from there pass to us. So this, by the way, this teaching by Jesus is pretty powerful, isn't it? It makes it pretty clear. So we got to get things right here because here on earth is where God gives grace and he gives second chances, third chances, and 1,000 chances to turn to him. But once we cross over, there's no more chances. And we can't pray him there, we can't give him there, we can't wish him there, and we can't get him there. There's no other way to get there, right? And I just want to illustrate that point. It just says, so this personal knowledge continues, recognition of people, place, pain, rich man's in torment, not because he was rich. And the finality of heaven versus hell is seen here. You can't pass between. We got to get it right now. So that's important, right? It's a clarifying picture. It kind of helps us understand, right? Now, I skip on down. And this is the rich man again. He says this. He said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send. I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And I want to say this. Remember I mentioned about our knowledge continues? Guess what this guy is thinking about? I'm in hell, and I really love my brothers, and I don't want them to be here. And he's asking Abraham, can you send Lazarus back from the dead? and tell these guys, please don't go the same way. And look what he says. He said, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. What he's talking about is Moses is the first five books. Moses is the author of the first five books of Scripture called the Pentateuch, which means five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? He said, they got the law. They understand the deal. They understand the way. Let them hear them. And then listen to what the rich man says. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Yeah. And Jesus, by the way, is talking about himself here. He says, but he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. I want everybody to look up for a second. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We all celebrated Easter a few months ago. Maybe we got off work. We had Good Friday. Jesus rose from the dead. But a whole lot of people, that has not impacted their life other than maybe that one day when they go to grandmom's house for dinner. Seriously, right? Easter's become this thing where we all get together as a family and have dinner, but Easter's far bigger than ham or turkey or whatever else you have. Easter is all about somebody rose from the dead, conquered death, conquered sin, and made a way for us to have eternal life. Right? And he said, you know what? If they won't hear the scriptures in the power of the Holy Spirit, they're not even going to hear Lazarus if he comes back from the dead. So personal knowledge and feelings continue. Love and compassion continues as he asks someone to save his brothers. But here's the problem. Once we get there, we can't change anything. Right? You get that? Get that? Understand that's such a powerful picture, right? Once we get there, we can't change anything anymore. We got to change it now while we have breath. Right? And that's the key point he makes, right? And then here's a question. And by the way, let me say this. Pastor Ansu or me or the authors of all the books that we read, lots of pages, right? None of us have the perfect answer. But I'm going to try to give you the best of our understanding when it comes to, okay, so we're in heaven. Let me ask this question first to tee this thought up. Does it seem like the rich man has some sort of body? Why, how would I know that? Why? Because he feels pain, right? Does it seem like Lazarus and Abraham have some sort of body? Yes, because they see them and they're recognizable, right? And I read a scripture like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it says, we know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So it seems like when we immediately in the present heaven, when we die and we pass to heaven, our soul and spirit go there, our body goes in the ground. It seems like there's some sort of temporary body that we must have to recognize each other, to experience pain, and to go through those things. It seems like that. But let me say this. Everybody look up, because I don't want you guys saying, that Pastor Gary, he's a heretic. Okay? It seems like that, but you know what? Isaiah 55. His ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are greater than my thoughts. It seems like that. In my imagination, that makes sense. In my mind, that makes sense. So it seems like there's some kind of temporary bodily state that's there for our soul and spirit to inhabit. I won't go out on a limb and say, yes, it has to be true. By the way, none of the authors did either. They say the same thing. They say, it seems like that must be the case, but we're not quite sure. We'll have to see when we get there. Okay? And you know, I'll throw this out. Think about the alternative. So our soul and our spirit are in heaven, and we can't really see a soul and a spirit. So how's that work? I'm not quite sure. You know, does God veil us in some, you know, clothing? I don't know. But I know God has a plan. Right? So I just want to leave you with that thought. So it seems like there might be some sort of temporary body, but we'll leave that up to God. But let me say this. Everybody look up just to be clear on what we can be 100% clear on. Guess what? When we die as Christians, we immediately go to the present heaven. And when we die as unsaved people, we immediately go to the present Hades or hell. and there's a gulf there, and there's no way to get back and forth, right? We need to understand that. So important. I'm going to pick this up next time. I'm going to stop. The death of infants. I'll just say one thing about this. You know what? We serve, we love, and we trust God. And that impacts everything that I just said. God has given us revelation. He's given us his word, and we trust him first to do what's right. And we'll come back and we'll finish that. So I want to quickly go right to take us to the last part, our response. If you would, Miss Laureen, thank you so much. Up one, and then you'll be perfect. One more, I'm sorry, two. There it is. So I want you guys, I want to leave on this point, and we're going to go to our business meeting too. How do I respond to God's revelation about heaven? Seriously, how do I respond to that? By the way, it's kind of cool to understand that a little bit better, isn't it? It's kind of cool. Hopefully, I was able to explain that in a way you could understand. It's kind of cool to do that. But here's the point. Today is the day of salvation. And I see some teenagers and kids sitting in here. It don't matter how young you are, because I've been at funerals for people your age or even younger. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how tough you are, how smart you are, or how rich you are. But today is the day of salvation. Right? And you know, this is kind of one of those hellfire kind of messages in a sense. People say, you don't hear those a lot these days. But guess what? Today is the day of decision. Where do you want to be at? And I mean that really seriously. Where do you want to be at? Jesus has made a way, but you got to take it. He's not going to force you. We can't force you. Your parents can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. It's a one-on-one thing. You and God have to make this yours. Right? Today's the day of hope. You know what? Maybe people sitting here, and then there is. Hey, you've been diagnosed with an awful disease. Heart disease, cancer, something else. You know what? No matter what happens here on earth, God's able to heal you, number one. But if God takes you to heaven, you're going to be okay. You're going to be more than okay. And I'll throw this out. Even if you have no diagnosis, a lot of us have a diagnosis. We're old. There are more days behind us than there are in front of us, and heaven's looking more real every single minute. Right? We got to hope. My brothers and sisters, we got to hope. God made it a little more clear today in Luke 16, but we have a hope that's ours that we can hold on to. And then finally, you know what? Then today is the day we ought to live for Jesus. Because we should be the most hopeful people on earth. I know the world is a mess. I don't think our generation has seen as much of a mess as today. But here it is, right? It's ours. And God has ordained it to be true. But let me say this. You know what? None of that mess has changed what God has planned for you. None. None of it at all. Not going to change anything. So let's live for Jesus today, right? And I close with this. If you have any doubt in your mind where you're going to spend eternity, please do not leave today. I know we're going to do business for 5 minutes. Don't leave today. I'm not rushing out. Pastor Andrew's not rushing out. And deacons and others, we're not rushing out. If you have any doubt in your mind about heaven, would you please stop us? Or I'll even throw this out. There's lots of saved people sprinkled through the crowd that are mature. Just grab them. If they don't know, they'll take you to someone who does. But we gotta make that decision now, because we don't want to be on the wrong side of that great gulf that nobody can cross. Amen? Father God, I thank you for your word, and I just want to pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would just move us, Lord, and change us, Lord, into people of faith if we're not, and into a people of greater faith, Lord, if we already have Jesus as our Savior. And I pray, dear God, that you would cause us to live like we believe this. Give us, dear God, a hope, and give us, Lord, just a zeal to follow after you. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So I'm going to stop y'all. We're gonna hold our song, okay? Right? We're going to go to our business meeting. But remember, in a serious way, the most important business that we do here at First Baptist Church is saving of souls by God. So if there's an issue you got that's in that category, that knocks out everything else. Okay? We're going to go to our next slideshow. So by the way, if you're a visitor today, you can stay. It's okay. This is for our members. We're going to take a vote. Can we get the ballots, please, you guys in the back? And we also want to get a tablet. And I'll tell you why we're going to do this business. By the way, if you're a member, it's only going to be 5 minutes, so don't rush it unless you have to, right? As a church, the pastors and the deacons cannot put the church in any kind of debt without your permission. So we're asking for your permission to buy the van, okay? That's why we're doing this, right? And we're also asking for permission. I'm the one who has the privilege of signing the contract. So you're the guy. I'm the guy you're going to beat up later if something goes wrong, right? But you have to authorize me to do that by our Constitution, okay? So if you guys want to hang out just for a quick second, if you have to go to the bathroom, you could probably do it real fast. Oh, yeah. All right. Sit. Pastor Anstey said, if you got to go to the bathroom, just hold it because you won't come back. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Yeah, the guys are getting the tablets in the back real fast. By the way, do me a favor, and Mark, help me. Mark he's an accountant. He can count real fast. If you're a member, please raise your hand. Okay, cool. Yeah, that is definitely our quorum. Our quorum is 68, so there's way more than 68 people here, right? I mean, actually, y'all do me a favor. Even if you do it when you put your hands down, but when you run out, there's a tablet in the back. If you're, I want you to please, Ben Wilson, would you go out and just grab those tablets on the information desk and pass those? Okay, and raise your hand if you're a member. Just take a ballot. Sorry. It's okay. Honestly, you guys, don't y'all feel like that sometimes in church? We do, right? Just hold your hand up if you. We'll get you a tablet and we'll get you a ballot, right? Mr. Johnson's coming in with a tablet. Please just sign your name on the tablet so we know you're here. All we want to make sure is that we have a quorum, which we do. But this is a serious financial decision, so we want to document it. That's all. All right. So you guys, while you're all doing that, can you do two things at the same time? Because lunch is coming, right? You guys, we are looking at purchasing a van. Stuart Boyer and I had a privilege to go in there on Friday. It's at Berge Lincoln dealership in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. I don't know if y'all can see that, but we are going to purchase the 2025 Ford Transit passenger. It's a WA means wagon, but it's a van. It's Oxford white. It has 29,800 miles, and there's the VIN number. Okay, the top number is our monthly payment if we finance. In this case, we were going to finance $25,000, but we're probably going to finance $20,000 instead, a little bit less. It's around $500 a month, you can see it. For either a 48 or a 54, it's not much different. But here's the bottom line. The vehicle will cost $45,311. And I don't know if you guys were at the business meeting last time. You guys approved that we would find a vehicle that was less than 3 years old, less than 40,000 miles, and less than, we got some more ballots right here. Less than 3 years old. So this has met all the criteria. Okay, so that's what we want to do. So the problem is last time we only approved 40,000. There is no 15-person vans that we can find anywhere in the tri-state area with that age and mileage that sell for 40,000. Okay, we have money in the bank. We can swing it, but we don't want to spend up all the money to do it, right? So I want to show you guys a couple pictures, right? There it goes. What do you guys think? It's nice, right? It's a mid-height, so you do have to bend over, but not too far. There's the back, Ford Transit 350. There's the side. There's the front. Has a, like, captain's chairs in the front, like would you expect, passenger. There's the seating in the back. It holds 15 people. The aisleway is in the middle, not on the side, which is always a challenge. In the past, you had to climb over the wheel well. There's the inside, 15 seats, four in the back, and then three, two in the front. And there it goes. So what we would like you guys to do very quickly, and then like we said 5 minutes, and we mean it. we're going to take questions in 1 second. So the deacons have made the motion to put that onto the floor. I need someone to second the motion about our action. Ben Wilson, first hand up. Excuse me. So Ben Wilson, second motion. Okay, thank you, my brother. All right, and then there's 3 questions on the ballot. So the first question, I'm just going to come down so I don't, you have a ballot? Oh, you guys already gave a ballot away. Okay, first question was what? We should do it, so you guys, yes or no? Second question was what? If we're going to finance it, we're going to put the church under debt. Question is, I have the privilege to sign the loan documents. Cool. All right. Well, thank you. Did anyone not get their ballot collected? Yeah. And we'll take a couple questions real fast. Sherry needs one. Questions, right? You guys did that part. Questions. Gloria Labosa.
So you're saying that we are going to finance. So how much is the interest?
The interest rate is not yet determined. We actually had done, we did one loan application with the dealership on Friday. The illustration rate that they give is around 8%. We have another application with our bank, Wispus, that is 6.72, we understand. We're filling out like a lot of loan data. They ask questions like, how many givers are there? Give us 3 years of your income, et cetera, et cetera. So we're giving all that information in tomorrow. And we also have another loan agreement or another loan application going to our credit union, Andrews Federal Credit Union. They're the ones that hold all of our CDs and so forth. So we'll take the money out of our savings that we kept the $20,000 from way before the pandemic at Andrews. It's in a high-yield investment account. We're going to take the money out of that, $20,000. Plus, we've already received about $5,000 this year from you guys. Combine that together, $25,000 down payment. We'll finance $20,311 is what it looks like. And I'll just add one thing. That offering or the pledge that Jonathan said continues. And then we took the number. If you divided the total by all of us, if every family did $200, we would have no loan. That's not to pressure you. That's just to kind of give us an understanding of what it is. Nancy Long, question. Exactly. Yeah, our intention is not to hold the loan very long. We just don't want to throw all our money out real fast. Not all of our money, but a big chunk all at one time. So yeah, we'll minimize the interest, and typically there's no prepayment penalty on these types of loans. So if all the money comes in from us guys, then, you know, we're going to send them one giant $20,000 plus a little interest payment, and we'll be done. That's the plan, yeah. Do we have a set time for the family contribution? We don't at this point. As soon as possible. Here's the deal. We didn't realize we were going to get it so fast, but literally we could close that deal this week. The only thing that's holding us up right now is we are awaiting the title. The company, the dealership, purchased the car at an auction. Yeah, you know, that's how used cars are done, through auction, especially bigger and more expensive ones. So the car was it was purchased at an auction, and they're just waiting for the title to arrive. Then they can run the loan document, and we can be done. By the way, Stuart Boyer's here. He got a chance to drive it, you know, sit in it, see it. He took all the pictures. He's one of our bus drivers, CDL driver as well, which we will continue to have a CDL to drive this vehicle. It's not 100% required, but it just, that safety training is just smart because, you know, vans have a history of accidents and things. So it'd just be better to have better, more qualified drivers. Any questions for Stuart? He was there because you guys hear me all the time. The cordless? There you go. Put the handheld on, HH. Oh, it's on. There you go. It's on.
I think it's on. Yeah, as Pastor mentioned, I did drive the van. Yes, sorry.
It's a six.
It's a six-cylinder. It's a 15-passenger. There's other pictures. I don't know if the other pictures are there.
We can go
but
back.
It shows the inside. The inside is very, very nice. It does have a couple scratches on it. I don't know if Pastor mentioned that or
not. I did not.
Those things could either be, clean them out or something, or do something for it. No major dents.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
We are the pastor and the deacons agreed that it would be better to have a CDL because it should.
Oh, really?
I'm giving you my perspective, not pastor's.
Go ahead.
My perspective is it shouldn't be like anybody wants to bar the van, they could go bar it. There has to be some.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say sense of responsibility, but some people should understand, you know, and Mr. Long knows that, and Pastor knows that, as having CDLs, that it's an awesome responsibility, especially driving around with whether it's kids or any kind of passengers that are in the car. If you didn't see the news, there was a bus in Virginia that basically there was an accident with a large bus, and I think it was 3 to 4 people got killed in the accident. So I don't know what number of people were in the bus, but it also hit the back of some cars, and 2 children out of the people that died were part of that. So. The only thing I would bring up, unless there are any other questions, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I failed to mention that. I'm apologizing. The warranty, it has 29,000 miles on, almost 30, and the warranty, it has a bumper to bumper 3 years or 36,000. So we have, you know, about 6,000 more on the bumper to bumper, you know, which is everything. And then we have like 40,000 on the powertrain warranty, which is transmission, you know, big stuff in the engine as well on that. And we will assume those when we purchase the vehicle. We could extend the warranty. At this point, we're not thinking we're going to do that right at this moment, but we could do that too. But great question. Thank you, Carol, for asking. That's a great question. Great question.
But I will say this. I looked at the date that it was put in service. It was February 25th. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it, it's probably got about 15,000 miles per year. That was the actual. So they did a lot of work on it. And from looking at the company Berge's actually did all the service before we buy the van, it has already gone through a checks and everything checked out. We did get, what was it that we
had? We have a Carfax as well. You're familiar with the Carfax. There has never been an accident, only one owner. The owner actually was a leasing company that would rent the car, you know, for trips or whatever. You guys are all going. The vote was 87-1, so it is a go. We're going to purchase the vehicle, and we'll let you know just as soon as we can. By the way, someone asked me this question. Where are you going to park it so it's safe? We're going to park it right next to the bus, right in broad daylight, so it'll be in the safest spot it can be. We're awaiting our insurance quote on what it will cost to insure it. It's not going to be something outrageous, I don't think, so that we're waiting for that, too. Anything else pressing? I know you guys.
I do want to say one thing. Bus ministry.
Yep.
If anybody is interested in serving in the bus ministry, that is something that you ought to think about and pray about. Because the idea is we do what Jesus said, go out, go and bring them in. And that's the main reason why I'm all for the bus. To go out and bring in disciples. Make disciples, bring disciples, then teach disciples to go also.
Amen.
Thank you.
And by the way, Stuart, I appreciate Stuart so much. That's his vision, is he's going to, as soon as we get that thing here, we're going to start picking up kids for Sunday school, Sunday mornings, and make sure we get them here. And we'll work out a schedule and all that too. And if anyone wants to help in that ministry, by the way, driving a van isn't real hard. So getting a CDL is not a tremendous process. First Baptist Church will pay for your physical and also your testing as well. If you want to join, you know, Stuart or others in that, it'd be great. Okay? There is, go ahead. You want to do it? So we got one person. All right. So we said 5 minutes. We're already at 15 minutes. So Pastor Ansu is going to pray us out of here. Turn them on, Laureen. There he is up there.
All right, a little spray. A little stand.
Thank you, Stuart, by the way. Greatly appreciate his vision and his help.
Sunday school
meeting right at the end.
Sunday school teacher, come up front and leave maybe the next 10 minutes for your meeting. A little spray. A little spray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this hour. Thank you for a wonderful time of worship. Even as we are about to leave, we're not leaving your presence, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you go with us and be with us through this week and bring us back again, oh God, in your presence. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all. Thank you all. Have a great weekend. Sunday school teachers, right?